2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I am Rob West. God's Word repeatedly challenges us to be generous givers to our families and to the kingdom. When should we do this giving? Are we waiting too long? Ron Blue joins us today with an idea you may not have thought about. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our good friend Ron Blue is the co-founder of Kingdom Advisors and a prolific author and speaker on Christian personal finances. Ron, great to have you back with us.
Well, Rob, I always enjoy it. Look forward to these brief moments.
Well, I do as well. And I have so many Ron Blue quotes that roll around in my mind. And one of those that I've heard you say countless times is that you do your giving while you're living, and I'll let you finish it.
So you know where it's going.
There it is. Ron, what does our audience need to know about this statement?
Well, there's a lot. One is that, you know, if you're going to give to your children, for example, seeing how they handle the money that you give is not a bad idea in preparation for your wealth transfer or estate plan. But another big reason to say this is enjoy what God has given you. And there's no more greater joy, I think, than seeing somebody helped by having the resources that God has entrusted to you. So we give a lot just cash, and somebody that's working in a bathroom in an airport, for example, and go up and give them $20.
Yes.
And when you see them light up, you get the joy of giving. So, and I've got countless stories on that, but enjoy the bounty that God has given you, and also do a little bit of testing on your giving as to where it might end up after your death.
That's such great counsel, Ron. And I love what you just said, because so often we might think about our wealth as, well, I'm going to, quote, enjoy it, which means, you know, take trips and, you know, do things that would create memories. And yes, those are enjoyable and there's nothing wrong with those things. But perhaps we've missed the greater joy that can come from being involved in God's activity. And maybe we just haven't thought of it that way.
Well, you know, it's a very real thing. And I've never met an unhappy, generous person, okay?
Yes.
And there is great joy in being able to give. Well, you see the results. Not that you're manipulating anybody, but you're giving them a gift that it means something to their life. And
yes,
that goes with charities and with children.
Yeah, there's no question. Now, Ron, in order to do that giving while you're living and accelerate it beyond that cash giving, it really requires that you define your financial finish line, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And really, the only people that give maximally, Rob, that I've seen over the years, and is when you have a finish line, you know when you're done. Mm. And then you have to ask the question, well, what do I do now? And if you have a finish line, it frees you up many times to give. You know, my good friend Bob Buford, who was a very wealthy layman, he said to me one time after I spoke, he said, Ron, he said, I figured out what I needed to live the rest of my life, doubled it, and gave the rest away.
Well, that's one approach.
That's great. He had a finish line.
Yes, he sure did. Now, Ron, what about getting the kids involved in that giving during your lifetime?
I think that's an ideal thing to do. I know an awful lot of families that include their kids. You know, that could be around the dinner table or breakfast table and talk about maybe some needs. Maybe your church is asking you to make a pledge, whatever the giving is maybe that's going on. Your kids need to see your generosity. I had a father tell me one time, I had made the statement to him, more is caught than taught when it comes to kids. And he said, I realized because I do online giving, they had never seen me give money anyplace.
Wow. Well, maybe this is the time to change that. Ron, it's a great idea. It's an important lesson for all of us. And we appreciate you sharing it with us today. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, I love it, Rob. Thanks for asking.
That's Ron Blue, our good friend. You can read more on this topic in his landmark book, Splitting Heirs. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back after this break.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Something is wrong in this world. That much should be obvious. We see so much evil, and evil being done against Christians in many places. Scripture tells us that there is great evil, spiritual forces bent on destroying the people of God. But we have no reason to fear. The lives of precious saints may be attacked, but in the end, they have victory in Christ Jesus. 1 John 4:4 tells us, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The evil one, Satan, will one day be defeated, so take courage in Jesus. Get more encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, we're so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Boy, I look forward to this hour every day as I have the opportunity to come alongside you, to encourage you, to point you back to God's Word, help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You see, folks, you and I, we have a high calling as it relates to our stewardship of God's money. That's right. It all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's what Psalm 24:1 tells us. And therefore, we're stewards, and money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It's more morally neutral. It's not good or bad. The question is, how are we going to use it? Are we going to hold it loosely? Are we going to allow it to compete with our affection and devotion to God Himself? Because remember, the Bible says you cannot serve God and money, and I don't think that was an accident that those two things were put alongside one another, because if something is going to compete with our affection and devotion to the Lord, I would submit it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. So how do we develop an eternal perspective as it relates to our money? Well, that's what we want to help you do on this program each day, to help you see your resources, God's resources that you're managing, through the lens of Scripture, applying a biblical worldview. That's what we do with all of our programming here at American Family Radio, and that certainly includes God's money. And let's go ahead and dive in. We're going to begin in Maryland today. I bet it's pretty in Maryland. Josephine, how can I help?
Oh, thank you, Brother Rob, for taking my phone. I'm a little bit nervous, but
no reason to be nervous, Josephine. Just you and I having a conversation. So tell me how I can help you.
Okay. I just wondering, I did everything that I could to save on 401k when I was working. But something happened. I had a stroke, and then I'm going through a lot of challenges. So I don't have any more 401k, and then I retire early. And I don't know. The only thing I have right now, that it's my home. And I received a letter from AAG, asking me if they can help me to have a, you know, reverse mortgage. But I know 1 week I was listening to you, you were talking about the reverse mortgage. Do you think it will help me?
It might. It's definitely a tool to consider in this season of life. You're the right age for it. The question is how much equity you have in your home. Do you have a home mortgage?
I have a home mortgage. I never touched the equity as it went up and down, but I still pay the same thing. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Do you have any, what do you think your home is worth today, roughly?
I don't know. I think it's gone down. I got it at 220. So I don't know, maybe 180. I don't know.
What makes you think it's gone down? Because homes have been appreciating quite rapidly, especially the last several years.
Yeah, but the only thing is I'm receiving a lot of people try to make me sell the house. And my own mortgage company told me that I have an equity for $72,000. So I don't know how true that is. Because I don't know anything. Yeah.
So what do you owe on it today?
Like it's like roughly like 130.
You think you owe about 130?
Yeah.
So we are going to need to see how much equity you have in there and what it's actually worth. One way you could do that, this isn't a definitive number, but it could be a starting point, is are you comfortable using the internet, Josephine?
No, because of my sight.
I see. No problem. There is a website. Maybe you have a friend or a family member that could check this out. There's a website called Zillow.com, Zillow.com. You could go to that website, and without giving them your email or anything, you could just type in your address, and it would give you a rough estimate, what they call a Zestimate, for your home value. And it would be by pulling all the comparable homes in the area and then coming up with a value. The key is, one kind of standard rule of thumb is that you need 50% equity in your home to qualify for a reverse mortgage. And so that would mean that if your mortgage today, you think you owe $130,000, you're going to need your home to be worth at least $260,000 to qualify for a reverse mortgage. Now, you do sound like someone who's a good candidate for it, because typically what we see is in this season of life, if folks are ill-prepared for retirement because they had a major medical event and had to deplete their retirement savings like you did, or they just started late, or, you know, just because of lifestyle creep, they were not able to prioritize saving. And now they're in this season of life, they're living off of Social Security, you know, they barely have enough to make cover their bills, certainly not any extra, but they're sitting on a large amount of home equity. I do like a reverse mortgage as a possible planning tool, because unless you're going to sell it and downsize, and that has its challenges, if you're planning to stay in this home for the foreseeable future, a reverse mortgage will convert that equity to either a line of credit, but more importantly for somebody like you, to a monthly income stream, and they would determine how much based on the equity in your home and your age, which would give them your life expectancy. And then they would give you a set amount for the rest of your life every month. And that could be the difference between you not really barely getting by and having enough to pay your bills with even a little left over. And the nice part about a reverse mortgage is if it's what's called a HECM, a home equity conversion mortgage, which is a kind of reverse mortgage, then the Federal Housing Administration is going to guarantee the loan, meaning if for some reason you live to 150 and they paid you out more than your home was worth, and it's your, when you sold the home or when you passed away, if you owed more than the home can be sold for, the U.S. government would step in and make up the difference. You're not personally, or your estate would not be liable for it. So that's a nice thing. It's not a, it's what they call non-recourse debt. Normally, when you borrow something, if the collateral doesn't satisfy it, they come after you personally. That's not the case with a reverse mortgage. But if you don't have 50% equity, you may not qualify at all. So what I would do, Josephine, is normally I'd send you to our friends at Movement Mortgage online at movement.com/faith. But because you don't use the internet, our team will get your information and I'll have somebody to get in touch with you to do a little deeper dive and help you determine whether or not you qualify for a reverse mortgage. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Really appreciate your call. Listen, you were nervous, but you did great. So thank you for being on. Please call me back anytime, and you stay on the line. We'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you, okay?
Thank you. May God bless you for whatever you're doing right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless you as well. Mark and Candace, stay right there. We'll get you guys after the break. Hey, some interesting data in the news today. The Biden administration is looking at into ways to further restrict donor-advised funds. So this is one of my favorite charitable planning tools out there. Think of it like a charitable checking account. Well, critics of donor advised funds, including the Biden administration, say it's a way for the ultra wealthy to take immediate tax deductions while allowing money to sit unused indefinitely. The problem is that's not what the data says. I mean, the average donor advised fund today, more than half of them have less than $50,000 in them, and it is a fabulous tool. So more than 70 people representing the charitable sector showed up in an IRS hearing to argue against the proposed restrictions. Some testified that the changes would significantly reduce contributions to nonprofits. We'll keep you posted on this one. This is one to continue to watch. Back with much more after this. Stay with us.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Our vision here at FaithFi is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. We do that by helping you each day think about your financial questions and your role as a steward of God's money in light of biblical wisdom. We're going to head back to the phones. Let's get to as many questions as we can. We'll go to Florida next. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, sir. How are you doing?
I'm working and I'm retired.
Okay.
Anyway, my question is, I am a retired Air Reserve technician, so I had dual status. I worked as a government employee, and on the weekends, I worked as a reservist. Anyway, I retired 2.5 years ago, and I have a TSP account with a roughly $200,000 in it, maybe a little bit more. And my question is, should I take that money out of the TSP account and reinvest that in a money market or something like that, or should I just leave it be?
Yeah, well, I may have a third option for you. I mean, because I like you rolling it out, I guess I'm just wondering why the money market. So give me a sense of what is your total investable retirement assets?
I think it's $210,000.
Right, but that's your TSP, but do you have other retirement savings?
When I turn 67, I'll draw Social Security. I'm pulling in from my government and military retirement about $2,500 a month.
Okay.
And my part-time job, I'm bringing in about $2,000 a month as well.
Okay. And then what other assets do you have? So you don't have any IRAs or any other retirement funds, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And what about emergency savings?
About $30,000.
Okay, great. And are you able to live within your means on that roughly $4,500 a month before Social Security?
Yes. I'm doing quite well, actually.
That's great. All right. So tell me, why are you thinking money market? Why not get that invested?
I work on airplanes. I don't know anything about investing, so that's why I'm calling you.
Yeah. Well, when I get on an airplane, I rely on people like you to fix them and pilots to fly them, which is why, you know, if you work your whole life and you save a couple of hundred grand, which is a lot of money, I like the idea of you hiring somebody to manage that. And here's why. I mean, what is your age, Mark?
I'm 62 and a half.
All right. So let's say you lived age 95. I mean, we don't know if we have another breath. Only the Lord does. But if you're relatively healthy and the Lord tarries, I mean, you could live another 30 plus years. And so if you did, we want this money to last. And even if you're able to live comfortably on your two retirement checks prior to Social Security, you're going to have even more when you get Social Security. And that's great. Which means you could continue to save and maybe even start giving some more away. But I love the idea of this $210,000 continuing to grow into the future because, you know, if you needed long-term care, I mean, you know, maybe you rely on the VA, but, you know, depending on what your needs are, you could end up needing to tap into these assets. And so I think, sure, there's something to be said about protecting it, especially while rates are up where they are now, where you could get 5% in a money market, but that's not going to last. And I think the idea would be that, you know, typically we'd say somebody who's roughly 60 years old, you know, we'd probably say you should probably have about 50% of this $200,000 in stocks and maybe the other 50% in fixed income like bonds and CDs, and then maybe a small portion in money market. But I think because this is not your area of expertise, just like airplanes are not mine, I'd hire an advisor to manage that for you. I would roll it out of the TSP. And once you, you know, separate from your service to the government, then you can do that rollover from the thrift savings into an IRA. And then that advisor could take over managing that money with an eye toward protecting it, but also growing it to offset the effects of inflation. How does that sound, though?
That sounds good. My wife says she wants to do the same thing with roughly $80,000 she's got in savings, so we would probably combine that money.
Yeah.
And our home is paid for. We've got about $400,000 in equity on it, but we're not going anywhere because of that.
Okay.
So we're just trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're doing a great job. I mean, you got plenty of income sources. You got some retirement assets that you built up. You wouldn't combine them. You'd need to keep yours separate from hers because retirement accounts are individual, not joint. But a single advisor could manage all of this for you, and I think that would be a great way to go. So what I'd do is I'd head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a professional. And I would interview two or three advisors there in Florida and find the one that's a good fit. But I think that's a great plan for you as you think about the future.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Hey, God bless you. Mark, thank you for your service to our country, sir. We're grateful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, Mark mentioned something. He said he was debt-free. And by the way, I love the idea of setting a goal to have all your debts paid by the time you retire. Fewer and fewer people are in that ideal situation. Listen to this study I came across today. 25 years ago, half of Americans between the ages of 65 and 74 were debt-free. It's about a third now. And debt hems us in, especially when the economy slows down like it is now. And, you know, the stock market declines, and that's going to happen if we get into a recession. It certainly has happened before. It'll happen again. And so if you can get out of debt by the time you retire, like Mark and his wife have done, you'll be glad you did, because here's what that's done for them. It's put them in a position where with these guaranteed income checks they're getting through his retirement and his part-time job and eventually his Social Security, by getting the house payment off the table, it takes that biggest expense out of the equation. It just makes the ability to balance the budget so much easier. So really work toward that, even if it means you got to work a little bit longer to kind of sync up your retirement date when you switch to whatever God has next for you with your payoff of your mortgage. It'll make all the difference in the world. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Candace in West Palm and George just down the street from her in Boynton Beach. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
We're going to talk about this further issue. Our response. Who's behind this?
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Why faith and finance? Well, as we accept our role as stewards of God's resources, that's right, it all belongs to Him. Well, we want our faith to inform the financial decisions we're making. You see, we start with our values and priorities as believers, and then we look to the counsel of Scripture and we say, what are those principles, the big ideas and themes we can pull out of God's Word around how we manage His money? And then we make decisions in the here and now with confidence. But we want our faith to be right there in the mix because we want to invite God into our financial lives. You see, my experience is that our financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey as we hold what He's entrusted to us loosely. So often, what can be a chief competitor to lordship is the financial resources that we have, that which God has entrusted to us. Because as we make money an end, as opposed to a means to an end, a tool, well, it can compete with God for first position in our lives. We see that clearly in Scripture. You remember the parable of the sower? What choked out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return was the desires for other things, the deceitfulness of wealth. If we pursue money as an end in and of itself, well, it can absolutely compete with our hearts for our devotion to the Lord. So let's not do that. Let's seek the counsel of Scripture. Let's live with contentment and joy. Let's hold God's resources loosely, apply His wisdom, look to give generously, because that breaks the grip of money over our lives. And when we do, we will experience God's best as we apply His wisdom. All right, let's go to West Palm Beach. Beautiful West Palm Beach. Hi, Candace. How can I help?
Hi, it actually is very beautiful. I am
it
doing
is.
Fabulous.
I was just there at Palm Beach, nice. Atlantic. I was a few blocks from Worth Avenue, and it is just spectacular. I was coming over the causeway
nice
there.
And just, beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, how can I help you?
Okay. So I wanted to get your thoughts. My husband and I currently have a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, and we're looking to upgrade because my parents are planning on moving in with me.
Oh, wow.
And we have 260, we're planning on we're selling, so we'll be having 260 in a deposit towards somewhere, but I mean, our ballpark was 500, but it's a little tricky finding a 4-bedroom at that price point. So I mean,
yeah,
worst case, we'd be willing to, I mean, not ideally, but probably going to like 540, but that's going to probably be about 30% of our take home. And I know 25% is the ideal. I kind of just wanted to get your thoughts on that. We do have about 30 in emergency savings, and that's cool. On top of, so I will, we still will be doing our 401k contributions, and we do tithe. So I kind of just wanted to have.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable with that. I mean, I think, you know, between 25 and 30% of your take home for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and then another 5%. So if you're at 25, you know, add 5% to that, or if you're 30, add 5. So you go up as high as 35% with the other categories as well. So that's going to include home maintenance and utilities and homeowners association, that kind of thing. So I think you're right in the ballpark there. And I think given that, you know, you're making, you're using the guideline as a starting point, but then it's ultimately about how does the budget work itself out with real numbers. And if you're telling me that, yeah, we can continue to give, we can continue to pay, you know, put money in our 401ks and make the budget balance by going up to 30%, I could get on board with that, which would allow you to go, you know, up to 540. And I love that you're starting with the budget, not starting with the shopping, because, you know, what happens is you get out there and you say, well, somewhere in the 5 to 6 range, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at 650 because you found the perfect house and you're trying to back into how you can do it. And that's just a losing battle. And so I think once you establish your not to exceed price, then we just trust the Lord that he's going to provide something, and it may be in his timing and not yours. You may want to find it on the first weekend, and it might take a little while, but I think just be vigilant in trying to stick to your budget once you establish it. But bottom line is, am I comfortable with you going up to 30% of take-home pay for your mortgage payment? As long as you've run the numbers and actually put it into a budget that is realistic and you can make it work, yes, I'm comfortable with that.
Thank you so very much. I really just kind of, it made sense because I'm like, I don't want to miss out on an opportunity because I'm being too narrow-minded, if that makes
no,
sense.
No, I think you're being really thoughtful about this, Candace. So well done, and we appreciate your call. God bless
you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, to Boynton Beach, Florida. George, go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
We tithed to a church last year and then changed churches. We didn't receive documentation of giving from the church we left. We've tried to contact the church but haven't got a response. And I'm wondering what documentation the IRS needs from a church in order for me to claim a deduction.
Yeah. Do you itemize your deductions, George, or do you take the standard deduction?
Itemize.
You do. Okay. So if you do itemize, I mean, ideally you would get that contribution statement. And is this a church that's out of the area or something, or is it right near you? You just don't attend there any longer.
It's right near me.
Okay. Because what I may do, I mean, is it a very small church?
Yes.
Okay. So they don't have an online giving platform where you could log in and try to print off a statement, correct?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully they have a business office or at least somebody that's the business administrator. And I might just drive by there and just stop in during normal business hours, maybe on a, you know, Tuesday through Friday. A lot of times on a Monday, maybe the business office is closed or Friday. But I'd go by there and just say, hey, I just need to pick up a giving statement. And this is not going to be uncommon. They're undoubtedly have other people asking for the same thing if you're having trouble getting them on the phone. Because really, ideally, you want to have that contribution statement from the church. Now, the other option is you just kind of add up your canceled checks or electronic transactions, and you know, you submit that as the deduction. And then if you were audited, you could explain that the church wouldn't provide the documentation, and you could show your transactions on your end through the canceled checks or the print off of your statement. But I'd probably take one more step to try to get that print off on their letterhead of a contribution statement, even if that meant you have to drive by and see if you can find somebody that can help you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, George. I appreciate your call, and I'm delighted to hear that you're a faithful giver and also that you're taking full benefit of the tax deductions that are entitled to you. I think that's a great idea. Let's go quickly to North Carolina. Hi, Carrie. How can I help?
Hi. Yes. I was just wondering. I'm semi-retired. I do get a little bit of money. I'm almost 67, And my husband's not alive for me to ask him how to tithe because he was in charge of all the tithing. So I'm just trying to decide if it would be your recommendation to tithe off of maybe something he already tithed, which would be his income, the Social Security I'm getting from him.
Yes. Did you all tithe on the gross? Do you know? I know he handled that, but do you know if you all tithe on the gross amount that you received before the taxes were taken out or anything like that?
I believe that he taxed, took money out.
Okay.
Tithe.
Yep, that's helpful. All right, let's do this. I'm going to give you my answer on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Carrie in North Carolina. She is semi-retired. Her husband has passed away. He handled the finances. She stepped into that role, and sounds like, Carrie, you're doing a masterful job in that. And I appreciate your giving heart. You're wanting to honor the Lord with your giving, but you're feeling the pinch of not having as much available and wondering how to think about a tithe. That is a tenth on the increase following the Old Testament principle of the tithe as a guideline. And I love that as a way to think about our systematic and proportionate giving. And it's interesting because it's very easy to do when we are thinking about maybe a gift that you receive or income. You and your husband were faithful tithers, and you said you all tithed on the gross amount, meaning before the taxes were taken out. And so when it comes to Social Security, in a sense, you've already given on a portion of that money. Why a portion? Well, half of it was paid by you. Today, that's 7.65%. The other half of it was paid by your employer. So you wouldn't have tithed on that amount. And then there's some growth component built in because depending on how long you live, they're likely going to pay you back more than you paid in through those monthly benefit checks. So how do you think about that in light of the fact that you were a generous tither on the gross amount through your working years? Well, I think there's a couple of approaches. Remember, this is not meant to be legalistic. We're not kind of paying God. We do this out of a glad heart as an overflow or an expression of our worship to Him. I like systematic giving. Clearly, we see that modeled in Scripture. And so I think when you consider the tithe, you can take the one approach is just to say, everything I receive from any source is a gracious gift from the Lord. And so I'm just going to return to him a tenth on that amount. But I think you could also say, listen, because things are tight, and, you know, out of a recognition that I've already been, we together tithed on this money throughout our working years, I think probably a rough rule of thumb would be to say, I'm going to tithe on half of it, because the other half is either my employer portion and or the amount that's part of the growth in that that's going to be returned to me over the rest of my life. And so that's another way to think about it, is maybe you just take that Social Security check, cut it down the middle, and say, I'm going to continue to give a tithe on half of this money. Does that make sense?
Yes. I was just wondering, what about when I get my IRA, when I can take money out of that? Do I tithe off of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, right. So that money went in pre-tax. And so, you know, the question would be, typically the way we would do that when you have an investment account is you would tithe not necessarily on the money that is coming out, but you would tithe on the gain. And so that's your increase. So what you might want to do is say, okay, on an annual basis, do you manage that money yourself? Do you make those investment decisions, or you have an advisor?
Right. I have my son helping me, I do make a little money off of money market, you know, like putting it into the bank, and I get some, I get the interest.
So the withdrawal from your retirement account is the same with your savings. That's not your increase. Your increase comes from either interest paid or realized gains, which is when you take a stock or a mutual fund and you sell it and you're selling it at a profit, that's your increase. So what you could do is say to your son, hey, will you calculate over a year's time how much gain I had in my investment accounts? And then you could give as unto the Lord on that increase. But it wouldn't just be a withdrawal from the account. It would really be tied to appreciation of the investments that were sold and therefore realized, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, good. Well, listen, Lord bless you, Carrie. I want to send you a book just as our gift to you. It's called Wise Women Managing Money. And a good friend of ours, Miriam Neff, when her husband Bob passed away, she wrote this book for widows who were all of a sudden finding themselves in a role of managing the family household finances. And I think it'll be an encouragement to you. I think it'll also give you some practical guidance. So I'd like for you to stay on the line, if you don't mind. We'll get your information and get that book out to you, okay?
So gracious of you. Thank you so much, Rob.
Happy to do it. God bless you. Chuck, Morgantown, West Virginia. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. We have received a letter from a company that the title of the letter says, order to resolve potential claim oil and gas interest. And in the body of the letter, it talks about wanting to give us a quit claim deed for, they'll pay us $1,000. And I'm just not sure whether this is something we need to proceed with, or is there something that we need to be concerned about here?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this really is a legal matter at the end of the day. Is this a company essentially wanting you, Chuck, to sign what is probably a limited quit claim deed, allowing them to drill for oil and gas? Is that right?
I don't think they do drilling. I think they just are buying mineral rights in our state and Ohio and Pennsylvania as well.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I would probably bring a real estate attorney into this process before you go any further. I mean, the first question is, you know, who is this company? Are they legitimate and reliable? So you need to do some due diligence there. You'd probably want to talk, if possible, to others who have done the same thing. Find out what the opportunity is here. I mean, given that this was unsolicited, is this something you're wanting to sign over? And is that a fair and equitable price if you are? And so I think, you know, having somebody that can navigate this with you to understand your rights, what you're giving up legally by doing this, and then ultimately exploring if you did want to consider something like this, is the whether this is the company to work with. You know, the company could end up selling those rights, and then somebody could end up drilling eventually. And so you just have to be careful about the long-term implications of what you were doing here. And so I think that's why getting some wise counsel before you do anything would be the best next step. Do you have an attorney that you know in the area that could look over this for you and advise you?
No, I don't have a personal attorney. I would have to get a reference.
Okay. All right. Well, I would look for a real estate attorney in the area. You could call your church and see if there's one. You could contact a certified kingdom advisor in the area and ask for a referral. But I think that's your next step, is just to understand from a real estate attorney, what would I be giving up? What are the implications to that now and in the future? And what is the appropriate amount for this to be valued at? And then ultimately, is this the company to work with if, in fact, that's your decision is to proceed? So I would go slow. I think there's a lot more due diligence that needs to happen here. But nothing wrong with this at face value, as long as you understand all the implications of it down the road. If you need a CKA to help you get to an attorney, you could go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional at the top of the page. Chuck, thanks for your call, sir. We appreciate it. To South Florida, hi, Melvin. How can we help?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling you. I'm 20 plus years before retirement, and you know, I try to save for my family and I. And currently, we have projected by the time I retire, if everything goes well, based on what I'm saving, we should be like at $2.8 million in retirement, which I hear is great. The question that I have: can you save too much? Like at times, we're kind of almost broke, if you want to look at it like on our current checking account, because I put in a lot of money or as much as we can on savings. Is that unbalanced? Like I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can, Melvin. I mean, I think this idea of over accumulation is absolutely possible. And so thinking about setting a financial finish line is very appropriate. You know, retirement is not just around the idea of the mindless accumulation of wealth. We just, you know, the goal is more than we have today. No, I don't think that's the right approach. I think the right approach is to say, let's give a prayerful and thoughtful approach to what do we ultimately want to save as a goal. And then let's have a reasonable plan to get there. And we want to think through what are the implications to that, because to your point, you're, you know, potentially robbing yourself of what you need today just to maintain whatever lifestyle you think God has called you to, including the enjoyment piece of what God has given you, building memories with family members and creating experiences, maybe traveling and taking a vacation from time to time. But then also this idea that we might want to prioritize giving today, and to the extent we're putting everything toward the future, we may be missing that opportunity to do some current giving that the Lord may be leading you to. So I think it starts with really what lifestyle has God called us to? What would it look like for us to maintain that lifestyle in this next season of life, whatever that might mean, whether you're moving away from paid work or not? And what's the appropriate amount of accumulation to be able to reasonably, you know, maintain that income level in retirement, recognizing that Social Security was only intended to cover about 40% of your pre-retirement income. Most people live on about 80% of their pre-retirement income. So if Social Security is only half of that, how are you going to make up the other half or more? And that's got to come through your savings. And so there is a way, I think, on paper to get there in terms of what that financial finish line is. You will hear advisors saying, you know, 10 to 12 times your income is probably a good starting point. And there's some, you know, rationale behind that. But that doesn't mean that's right for everyone. And so I think that's why you've got to really think and pray through this. Do you have an advisor, Melvin, who can advise you on this?
Yes.
Okay. I would bring this question to that advisor, and hopefully that advisor understands your values as a believer, understands the heart of God, this idea that we need to save appropriately. It's not just about saving as much as we can. And so I think if you start with that idea that we want to define our finish line. What is that number? Help us get there. That's the question to have. Big thanks to my team today. Couldn't do it without them. Autumn on phones, Devin, my producer, Jim on research, and everybody here at FaithFi. If you want to support our work, go to faithfi.com and click give. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.